Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
All right, with that, I'll open it up on Florida. Got a lot of respect for their team. I think Dan does a great job, number one, developing quarterbacks, but he's done a really good job this year with the Kyle that came in as the backup, and they've become really explosive. They've got as deep a group of wide receivers as I've probably seen anywhere from top to bottom. I mean, they got 6 to 7 to 8 guys playing at wide receiver that are really good players. An elite tight end, it's probably one of the best in the country. And their defense with Todd's really aggressive, seen through all the pressure and sacks they've got. Really good corners out there on the island. They're playing at a high level, and they play special teams as good as anybody we've played. You can tell the commitment's there. They've got starters scattered all across their special team. So across the board, it'll be a great challenge. It always is when you play these guys, and played dance teams for a long time. They're well coached, and they're always physical. So we're looking forward to the challenge, and we started getting ready last week for them, hoping to get some guys back from injuries today. Some recovered over the weekend. Some were able to go Thursday before we broke, and hoping to continue to get some guys back healthy.
You mentioned the pressures that Florida can bring with Grantham, and I know that's kind of been something he's known for, but are they doing that as much this year, given with Grenard and Zuniga, how they can rush? I know it's the goal of everybody to rush with four if you can. Are they blitzing and doing as much as they've done in the past, given what they've got this year?
Yeah, when I say pressures, I'm talking about the pressure of the quarterback, not necessarily bringing more than four. They do a great job of rushing with their four guys and allows them to do more coverage-wise. They've got some alternative pressures and different looks, kind of like we do defensively, where it might look like pressure, but it's not. It's called simulated pressure, but they don't have to do that as much because the four guys they got rushing, especially the two guys on the edge, are really elite when it comes to pass rush. So they do a really good job of that, and those guys get after the passer. I mean, as good as anybody in the country, it's obvious with their statistics.
Coach, obviously the Jacksonville deal got extended. We hadn't had a chance to talk to you. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. You sounded like you would prefer that not to have been the case, but how'd you feel about that new deal?
Yeah, I think first the misnomer there is that I don't want the game in Jacksonville. That's not a case for me. I look at it through, like, I love playing. That's one of my best memories ever as a player, being able to do that. I think the landscape of college football is such now that your home and homes are so valuable as you go out and try to find other teams to play. When you play these other teams that we're playing out in the future, you got a home and home, so you got one less home game. The team that you used to buy to come play you, you're going to have one less home game. So now with us, every other year, it may be two less. So it makes it tougher in that perspective. But I also think the financial significance of this game and also the historical significance of this game weighed in the factors, and the administration felt like that was the best thing to do, and I'm 100% on board with it. I'm a team player, and I always said once the decision was made, it's made. It's a two-year commitment. We'll continue to see where it's going in college football. So I think as you look across the board, you see more and more kids committing on these official visit weekends where they go to a home game, and they're really important weekends. You know, we just have one less shot at those. That's the toughest thing.
You mentioned your history of going up against Dan Mullen. What's the chess match like, the dynamics of that through the years? Any common denominators there?
I don't know that it's a chess match every time you go against somebody, but it boils down a lot more to players than it does X's and O's. He always has a very physical football team. They believe and they have a commitment to the run game. They always seem like they have downhill, low center of gravity backs, very similar to what he has now. He had at Mississippi State, big physical offensive line. He never abandons the run. He's always going to be able to run the ball. He always has a quarterback that can run the ball, especially whether it's short yardage or packages with Emory coming in for him. And he's got as good a wideout group that he's ever had that I can remember, and he's using those guys' skill sets. I mean, he highlights those wideouts he has because he has so many. So, I mean, I don't know how to better say it than to say that he has a complete offensive package right now with what he has. So he has the ability to use all those guys, and he's doing a good job. They're doing a good job offensively.
with Florida's wide receivers, how important is your secondary going to be, and is there any update on Tyson Campbell and his status for this game?
The secondary, I mean, everything's going to be important because you got to say the front's important to affect the quarterback. The front's got to control the run game. You got to be able to pressure the quarterback and affect him. But every time you do that, you got to be able to cover on the back. It never changes, right? You got to be able to cover people man-to-man to be able to play these teams. You got to. And if you can't do that, it makes it harder on you to even be able to think about pressuring. So, you know, they do a good job. As far as Tyson, he practiced last week. Didn't go as much Thursday as he did Wednesday. We had to back him down a little bit, but he was able to practice a couple days last week. I think Wednesday was the last day he went like full and was able to do everything, but then Thursday we cut him back, so we'll see where he's at today.
Coach, I know you guys are looking at every option to become more explosive on offense, but what specifically can the wide receiving core do to help you in that regard, and is Jake's relationship with them still evolving, developing with some guys that didn't have as much experience coming in?
Yeah, Jake's relationship is probably better with these guys. He spent more time with them, if you think about it. It's not about the relationship as much as it is, you know, ability to win one-on-one, win in space. We call them 50-50 balls or, you know, back shoulders, whatever it may be. We've got to win more battles when it comes to that because people in our league are going to play you a certain type of way, so you got to be able to win those. I don't think it's relationship-driven or rep-driven. I would say continuity of the same guys in the game has kind of been all over the place because every receiver has missed some game in some way, shape, or form. But we continue to work on those. We're going to keep working on them today.
Just on some of those other injuries, Walker and Cager, is any update on their status? And will Kinley be back in the starting lineup 100%?
Walker Ben Trevon? Yeah, he's back out today practicing, supposed to be full go, ready to go. We're expecting to get him back. Cager's expected to be able to practice today. To what extent? You know, he was able to run routes and do some stuff Thursday and thought he looked good doing that. So we're expecting to hopefully get him back, but I won't know more until we see practice today.
Kirby, obviously there was a lot of talk about the offense going into the bye week. I'm just curious, as the coaching staff looked at film, was there anything that stood out to you in terms of what more can be done? And do you believe the players on the offense have been put in the best position to succeed to this point?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. But first of all, we look every week, but bye weeks we look at everybody in the country and say, okay, what are they doing? What's been successful? What tools are they using? What positions are they putting their best players in? How are you utilizing your playmakers to try to get them the ball? We're always evolving in regards to that. That's no different. As far as what our guys are doing and being able to put them in a good situation, yeah, I think we've been able to put a lot of our backs in good situations to be able to win, do things. I think, again, at wideout, it's tough because wideout, we haven't had there's not been a core group that's just been there every game and been able to do it. Cager's the one guy you can make a case has made some plays when he's been available and made some plays on 50-50 balls. We've got to be able to do that because of the way people play us. We're going to have to continue to do that.
Coach, going back to the Jacksonville agreement, I think Greg McGarrity said that he'll ask for the home team to maybe have a recruiting. Would that alleviate some concern with that whole thing?
What do you think those other teams are going to do with that?
I don't know. Please
ask. I don't know. I'm petitioning right now. If you're Alabama and you're Tennessee and you're going to help Florida and Georgia out, I don't think they're going to go for that. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? If it can help us, but I just don't know how realistic that is.
Kirby, you mentioned this game being one of your favorite memories as a player. It's the second straight year where both teams are ranked in the top 10. What does it do for the SEC and for college football when this rivalry, is kind of back where it is now?
Well, I think every week in the SEC, you're getting a matchup like this. It seems like for the next two or three weeks, it just seems to continue to happen because you've got really good football teams in our league. I think when you strap it on in our league, it's like you better come ready to play because week in and week out, you're going to have to play in big-time matchups. And it's the way it should be when you look at the SEC East. Those two teams have been, talking about Georgia and Florida, have been pretty dominant in the East picture for a while. And this game has always had some bearing on who goes to Atlanta and I think that both teams are good, and I think it's what college football is all about.
Obviously, there are plenty of examples of football teams that take a hit when they lose their starting quarterback, but what has Trask done that's maybe even – I know Frank's got hot at the end of last year, but how is this offense maybe a little bit different with Trask? How are Trask and Franks different?
They don't run a lot of different things. Felipe was really good at extending plays and creating a little more with his feet. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a runner, but he could run. Same way with Trask. He's a big physical guy, and when he decides to run, guys, you don't stop him for minimal gains on designed quarterback runs. I think that he's gotten the confidence of the receivers and the ability to throw the ball. You know, when he came in the game at Kentucky, you saw it right away. He's a natural passer. He brings value to the rest of their team because of his ability to throw the ball. I mean, he makes them harder to defend because all of their weapons are – their best players, their weapons are perimeter players. And you look at what he's done, he makes you defend all 53 yards. And he's a good quarterback. He's tough to defend.
Going back to the question about Florida's pressure, can you talk about your comfort level having a guy like Fromm and his experience and his ability to make decisions in those kind of situations?
Yeah, you know, Jake's played well in those kind of situations when you're talking about having a team with really good rushers, but a lot of that is contingent on those two tackles, blocking those two guys, and their ability to, you know, they don't just rush those two guys on the edge. They do games. I mean, Todd does a good job mixing things up, keeps you balanced. He, you know, he plays different coverages when he plays a quarterback that's not a scrambler or a runner per se. It allows you defensively to play certain guys a certain way. You know, people play Jake different than they play a guy that takes off running with the ball. So it makes it a little different. But Jake does a good job handling that. I think that'll be one of the key matchups in the game is, you know, how does their pass rush affect our offensive line, especially in passing situations.
You know, winning the turnover margin is probably always pretty important, but, you know, last year it played a big role and you always win every quarter. Well, this year, is it like even more important to win the turnover margin in a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, every game it's important, but you could argue the closer the games are from a standpoint of the teams matched, the turnover even plays a bigger factor because it's harder to overcome a plus one or I mean, a minus one or minus two turnover margin if the game's more evenly matched across the board. And I really think special teams will be the same way. And we've got to play a more complete game on special teams this game. And it's very important because you can tell they put as much emphasis on this as we do when you look across the board at who's playing on it.
Coach, Gainesville, Florida, 70 miles closer to Bainbridge than Athens is. So confession time. Were you ever a Gator fan growing up, or did you ever pull for the Gators when you were a kid?
No. I did go on an official visit there, and they recruited me out of high school, and had a good visit there, but wasn't a Gator fan.
What is it about Andrew Thomas that makes him special?
I would say the number one thing is his intelligence. I mean, he's athletically as good as anybody you'll see, but he's very sharp. He's very detailed. He has a plan. You know, yeah, you don't find guys that are his size and speed and athleticism walking the streets, but you also don't find that combination of intelligence to know what's going to happen before it happens. I think he prepares well for games, and he sees things a little bit before they happen because of his experience. He was well-coached in high school, and he's nothing but a stellar example of what a University of Georgia student-athlete should be.
You mentioned the complete package that Florida has on offense. Are they the most well-rounded offensive team you guys have faced this year? And, you know, are these the games you find out how good your defense is when they're facing a huge challenge on every level?
Sure. I mean, they're talented. When they look at, you know, throwing the ball, physicality, ability to run the ball with the quarterback, I mean, there's not like there's an area that they're missing. You would say the offensive line is probably younger than it was last year, having the draft pick, you know, the guys they had. But those guys aren't rookies anymore. I look at it and say those guys have played almost a complete season now, and they're playing at a high level because their quarterback's been able to protect him and throw the ball at a – I mean, when you got the wideouts, they got out there sometimes. It doesn't matter how long you protect because they get open pretty quick, and they beat some man-to-man situations against good teams.
With the injuries that quarterbacks have had in the SEC this year, I'm curious about with you guys with Stetson Bennett, how much reps do you get him in practice you know, or typically your backup quarterback to prepare for that kind of thing?
Yeah, if you say that the Jake gets 100% of the reps with the ones, you know, the number of reps the R2s gets is somewhere around 60 or 70% of the same number that the ones get. And during off weeks, we try to get stats in some with the ones as well, and a situation where he could go in there and play and get some reps and get some help. I think with it, what's going on in college football, it's just all over the place where people are playing with backups. You know it can happen. You got to be prepared for it. It's something we talk about each week. What would we do differently? What does he do? What is he comfortable with in the game plan? And those are mapped out by the offensive staff to say these are feature things that we would do with this guy, because you never know when you're going to be in that situation.
Kirby, you've mentioned a couple times how teams are defending you based on your game plan. Are you seeing the same thing week to week, or are the defense's schemes wildly varied? For somebody who doesn't understand, can you kind of explain what the common themes are?
Yeah, I wouldn't say wildly varied, but they're definitely not the same. I mean, I think when you look across the board, every team that has played us has done what they've done going into the game. It's not like they changed what they did going into the game. If it was Kentucky, they played their 3-4 front, very similar to our defense. They played a lot of the same things. They didn't do something exotic, or they didn't copy South Carolina. They did what Kentucky does. Kentucky does what they do. They did what they did the year before for a lot of extent of it. And then South Carolina played a lot more regular, meaning no extra DB in the game, against three receiver set versus us. So they played regular against where most people would play nickel in those situations, because they felt like their linebacker was stronger than their nickel was. So every game it's different. You go into the game saying, okay, how are they going to play us? Just like us, how are we going to play? It's a matchup thing. How are we going to play when they're in this personnel grouping? Should we play it with this many DBs or this many DBs? And that's part of the chess match. But early in the game, you figure that out, and then you've got to be able to say, okay, what are our answers when they do that? And week to week it varies, but I would not say that it's widely varied.
Coach, wondering about, you were just talking about quarterbacks. There have been a lot of injuries in the league this year. Obviously, Jake has been able to stay in there and keep playing. How much is that a product of how you guys play the quarterback, maybe not exposing him to as much quarterback run? Or do you wish Fromm was a little bit more elusive than he is? Or is it the O-line? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you managed to get late in every year with this guy playing every game.
Yeah, I hope you're not jinxing us, but I mean, he does a good job of protecting himself, meaning ball beats rush, meaning if I don't have that guy protected, I need to throw the ball. Some of what's going on is I don't know where I'm protected and I'm taking hits. Playing a lot of young quarterbacks in our league, a lot of guys are getting hit, a lot of different rushes, athletes. There's just so much going on with college football. Aggressive, a rush, affect the quarterback, no concern for the run, the quarterbacks are getting hit more. Where Jake is probably a little more experienced at, okay, I'm going to protect myself in this situation, but also the O-line is there, and I think our O-line does a good job pass pro. Now, they're going to face the ultimate test. I mean, these guys are as good as anybody in the country, but they do a good job with protection of getting the right guys. Now, can you lose a one-on-one? Absolutely you can, but when you get the right guys with your five guys, it allows you to do more things with your back. You know, some teams do not release their back at all. They keep them in for protection. We would like to get our backs out, because they're really good at getting out, and their ultimate goal of the defense is to make the back stay in. And if they can keep him in protection, that's one less guy they got to cover. So Jake's done a good job of protecting himself. Our O-line has done a tremendous job thus far of protecting the quarterback. And, yeah, you want Jake to be able to create something with his feet, and there's been some games that he's been successful doing that, and I think he's got to be willing to do that when there's nothing else there.
Two more questions?
Being from South Georgia in that area of the state, what does this rivalry game mean to you?
Well, I hate to say it, but there's all rivalry games. When you make one more important than the other, it devalues the others. I mean, this is a tremendous rivalry in all of college football. The fact that it's in a neutral site, it's in Jacksonville, which is closer to South Georgia, it's important to all Georgia fans. It's important to all Florida fans. It's one of the biggest rivalries in college football. So, for me, it's special because of where it's located, where the game's played, and usually what the outcome determines. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!